that I should have. I should have stood there.
Is that me to do it?
Yeah.
I'll take Agnes some paper in case she wants to do some writing over there.
She never knows what to write about. Tell her she's going to have some experience now. She can put down.
Mm-hmm. And she can tell us all about it when she gets home.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'll see to it that she gets these and whatever I can get ready by tomorrow.
Because they pucker my mouth.
Okay. Thank you.
Benton, thank you.
And if I don't get it ready for tomorrow, we'll just send it the next time. We'll send it to her in the mail. What do you remember about grandparents? I lived with my grandparents during World War II with my mother and my aunt and her little baby. My dad was in the Air Force. And so my grandfather had 6 women living with him because he had his mother-in-law too.
Oh my.
He said it was a harem.
In those days, during the war, I tell you, it was families living up.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. So after that, I lived with them for 7 years altogether. So they were like my parents to me.
Well, my grandmother, she liked to knit lace. And she knit lace out of sewing thread.
Out of what? Sewing thread? Oh, gosh, that's real fine. Mm-hmm.
And she liked to read, right?
What did she like to read?
Well, my mother would get books for her. She came to live with us when I was about 8 years old, after my step-grandfather died.
Mm-hmm. How old was she?
She was 93 when she died. And when my brother had scarlet fever, I was about 10 years old. So my dad and I, we had to go and live with her so to get out of the house for my brother's scarlet fever. And her bed linen, I don't know, she must have had some kind of something in there with them because it had the most beautiful smell to it.
Mm. Didn't you say that your mother liked lavender?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe she got that from her mother.
Uh-huh. And then my grandmother would say, if you want a cookie, you go into the buttery and get one.
Oh.
That was a name for a pantry.
Yeah.
How did you spell it?
B-U-T-T-E-R-Y.
It's a contraction of butler's pantry.
Mm-hmm. Oh, gosh.
My grandmother was from New York State, and I guess that's the way they said it, a buttery.
The older people always called it a pantry. It wasn't a pantry, it was a buttery. Mm-hmm. They always referred to it as a buttery.
Mm-hmm.
Dad's grandparents died young. Grandpa died down the line. His mother was burned to death.
Oh dear.
But these other grandpa and grandma that I referred to, they just lived just a few doors from us. But she was a typical little Irish lady. And she always called potatoes parades.
Parades.
That's an expression for potatoes in Irish. And if you were speaking to her and she didn't hear you and saying something, what? It was always I.
Oh.
And she had that little I.
Uh-huh.
It was just a sing song. I know that.
Was she little?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I had an Irish grandmother that was very small in size, but she was mighty every other way.
But she was small. She was short. Yeah. Grandpa was wounded in the Civil War. A bullet went through his hand and cut the muscles, and it was like that.
Mm-hmm. Like a clock.
Mm-hmm. Of course, he couldn't use his hand, and she waited on him hand and foot, and I think he liked it.
He let her do it too. Was he Irish too?
No, he was French. His people came from France.
Now, did they come from over here from there, or did they?
No, he was born here, but his people came. His mother and father came from France.
And she was born?
Grandma was born here too, but her people came from Ireland. Yeah, my mother's side were all Irish. I was even as Irish as Petty's pig. They all came from Ireland. But the one thing that I can remember about Grandma, she loved the funny papers. And she, when she'd get them, she would laugh, but oh, how she'd laugh. And there was a lot, but there were six girls in the family, so there were plenty of grandchildren. And that was Sundays. Grandma'd get funnies and she'd read them to herself, but she'd enjoy them, you know. And as each one of us kids would come up with the paper, we'd want the funnies read because Grandma enjoyed them so, and she would read to every one of us, and she would laugh just as hard with the last one as she did with the first one.
Aww.
And we just enjoyed having Grandma read the funny papers.
And my grandmother, she always had the table set with a spoon holder, and then there was a round tray, and on there was a vinegar cruet, salt and pepper.
They called them the old casters.
And then she had a cover over that, a white cover. And of course, with all that lace that she knits all around that. And her tablecloth was white. And that was always set.
Hmm. My grandmother, on my mother's side, grandma, 14 children.
Oh my word.
She used to tell them, what would you think if you had to sit down at the table and have it just like Thrasher's every meal? And they lived in Alden, a little place up. And when I got older, we lived up there too. And he'd go to the farm. They had a farm out south. And he had a horse. After he went to town, he had a horse and buggy. And he'd take me along out to the farm when I was just kind of small, a little young. And, oh, I think it was about 10 miles. It took quite a while. It was lunch along. Sometimes it was my uncle now lived there. But we usually took a little lunch. It's our long help, you know. And so I don't know, I kind of enjoyed going out. And one night, after they moved to town, Grandpa had to go, I don't know where, some town. He was a settler. And so they left me. I stayed with my Grandpa that night. I remember she had a nightcap on. It was summer. She called it a chemise, you know, them little, something like slip, petticoat. I remember because it was a little different than what we had.
What did you have?
And so I stayed all night. And then my dad was, his mother died when he was just a little boy. And he had a stepmother. And she'd be my step-grandma, and I tell you, she was good, too. We used to go, they lived in the cities in the later years. And she made quilts. She made these piece quilts out of heavy, kind of heavy cloth. And she made, worked around it. Beautiful yarn, and
That's crazy.
Her daughter and her son, and I don't know some of the others. She made them quilts to each one. And when it got to me, it was too late. She had to give it up. But she didn't have the yarn that she had. Decorous, she called it. So she pieced a quilt for me. Kind of like a necktie quilt.
Oh,
cut out.
How nice.
She helped me cut out the pieces, block. And she said that I had my quilt. but it wasn't like the others, of course. It was all...
Well, if it was handmade, it's a treasure. No matter if it wasn't like the others.
I had it for many years. Not finally, I guess it played out. But I had quite a lot of English.
How about your grandfather?
My grandfather. I think he really come from England, kind of. The England, more the English type. She was Dutch, kind of. Holland. Dutch. And
did they come over here, or were they born in the United States?
No, they was born here in New York State. They were both born in New York State.
Like Rita's family.
Came over. Like, well, some. But my dad was born in New York State, too.
How'd they happen to come to Minnesota?
My dad says, I was born in Cattaraugus County, New York, but I says he wasn't Dutch. But I don't know. They just heard, I suppose, about the good land in Minnesota, and they headed for the. Took quite a while because they came with a team and a horse. Then
were they farmers in New York?
Used to tell about getting out. He had one brother, half brother. And he says that every little while they'd see something somewhere, they'd see. And they'd talk about it, and the little kid would say, "Let me tea, let me tea." He wanted to see, too. Yeah, that was years ago, of course, when they came over here.
Were they farmers in New York?
No, I don't think so.
But they farmed here?
Not that I heard. They decided to go farm it when they got, wanted to come to Minnesota, dirt, I suppose, about this woman. I never heard whether there was relatives that he had here or whether they picked it up and come to find some good land.
They offered
they went,
free land, you know, in the
1860-something. They went down to Manchester down here. And they had I can't think of it now, they used to call every time they see that building that was there. But they lived around there a while and they didn't like it too. Then they went back a ways, went and come again, they said. And the next time they came, I suppose they heard more about it, they went and settled down to us.
I bet they got some of that land grant.
They
land.
Settled down by around Alden too then, somewhere. My father and them, you know.
How about your family? Were they farmers? They came from New York.
No, my mother said she was 6 years old, and they're from New York. They came down the St. Lawrence River. And they settled in Wisconsin, and my grandfather bought a sawmill there. And my dad, he was born in Wisconsin, and they came to Waseca in a covered wagon, he said.
Yeah, that's my grandma
came in a covered wagon. You know, isn't that something? We're going to the moon now, and you remember somebody. My great-grandmother went to Oregon in a covered wagon from Iowa with her whole family, and all the kids got the chicken pox on the way.
Oh,
so they had to, I don't know what they did. Frida, what do you remember about your grandparents?
The grandmothers all set a basket on the street ahead. Girls and
uh-huh.
He had a pretty basket. And my mother's mother, she always bought us kids candy.
What kind of candy? Hard candy?
Yeah, some kind. And my dad's mother, she come once in a while, but she never bought us kids anything. And I got a netball and was a small girl, I don't know how old, that I said to her one day, how come you never bring us any candy? The other grandma always do.
Oh.
And she gets so mad at me.
Oh.
I met with that.
Do they always live around Copenhagen?
Yeah, most of them.
They had a basket. Did they carry their shopping in it,
yeah,
too?
Yeah, they had their little brother. They had, it was always in a basket. Some were pretty and some wasn't so pretty, you know. But she got mad at me. She was, she didn't like that.
Oh.
And my grandmother was spied of, she used to live with us, that she could walk up to her mother's 6 blocks. And she came home that one day and she said, you know, there was a man uptown taking pictures of everybody, but she says, I heard I wasn't going to get my picture taken. Her picture came out in the paper.
Oh.
They caught her going across the street to the bank.
Oh.
And she was really a hurrying.
Yeah.
My dad was always talking about New York, where this, they're fixing it up now, you know, the
Statue of Liberty.
Yeah, he's always talking about her beckoning for people to come, although he was here, you know, always. He said, we, everybody liked to have the people come over.
Mm-hmm.
Always pleased to have, but when he could say that, she was standing there with her arm up, waiting for people to come in, beckoning, you know. So now they're fixing her all up.
Now they're going to fix her up. Yeah. Alice, what do you remember about your grandparents?
Well, Grandpa White was English, you know.
White?
Yeah, white. And Grandma was Dutch. And what I remember about Grandma, she'd always pull her glasses up over her forehead. And well, I was little. I really don't remember, you know, too much about them. And Grandpa and Grandma White. I remember Grandpa White, though. He had a cane. He was tall. We had a picture at home. My God, maybe one of us girls or got it, I don't know, of Grandpa. He had a cane. He hobbled around with that cane. Old English heritage.
Did they come here from England?
Well, Grandma, my husband's mother, grandfather, Grandma Skinner, right over from England. She was born in England, Grandma Skinner. And but my mother's side, they were mostly right here in the United States. Straight American people.
What do you remember about going to their houses? Do you remember about anything they liked to cook especially, or you know, Rita's grandmother did some handiwork? I remember I learned to sew at my grandmother's house. I hemmed dish towels. You know, she got those flour sack or whatever they were, those white Muslim things.
They bleach them. The letters out.
And then yeah. I learned how to sew by folding those and making. Oh, I thought it was the most fun.
Well, we'd draw threads in a hem stitch, you know, and hem stitch around them. I guess that's what it would call. It was not hem stitching. I don't know what you'd call that around them. You pull threads and work by design or something. No threats.
Wasn't hard anger.
No, it wasn't that.
Well, my grandfather, of course, was born in New York. Both of them. Grandpa was born in Buffalo, and Grandma came from Massachusetts. But her father was killed in a. He worked in the bullet mills, and there was an accident, and he was killed. So that's how it, her mother, and she had a brother, and Grandma had a brother, and he wanted to come west here. And that's how Grandma came west. They came, as I say, in a covered wagon. And they settled at Shieldville. right on the other side of Parable. But he had a little more explorative, you know, my guess, and so he went a little farther west. And Grandma's mother and her mother went with him, and they settled up at Fairfax then. And that's where Grandma grew up, at Fairfax. But Grandpa came.
Do you know when they came originally?
No, she was, I think she was around 14 or 15, I think, when they came. And Grandpa came, his family came from Buffalo, and they settled outside of Milwaukee, and they established a little town there. And it's still known as Nettleville. The family name was Nettle.
How do you spell it?
N-E-N-N-O.
Oh, my.
And it's still there. It's Nettleville. There are a lot of Nettles there. And so then he came, and he went into the hotel business. And that's what they did.
So they had to start from scratch. There was nothing there.
And talking about what the grandmother did, she was a good cook. And I can remember she used to make hot soup pepper. And I just loved it. And that's just plain old rabbit stew. But oh, it was good.
My great-grandfather, he came from England. And my grandmother, she came from Germany.
Where in Germany?
I don't know. I never knew how much she came from Germany.
As a child?
Yes. Well, she was 16 when she came over here.
I wonder if I had a picture of that actually of my a cousin of mine. I have a picture of my great grandma. And that's all I am. Wouldn't it be a lot? You have to be pretty brave to get on a boat at 16 and go across the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
Was she by herself?
I think so. We understood it, yes, because she had brothers living here. And she went to Wisconsin from Germany because there was relatives there. And then she married my grandfather. And then when my dad was 6 years old, and they came with a covered wagon here. And my grandfather's hotel is still standing in Waseca here.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
The one on, let's see, what would it be? State Street and...
No, it's on Allen Avenue.
The Waverly, the old Waverly?
No, it was called Clayton's Hotel.
Where is it?
My dad, after my grandfather died, my dad took and made a duplex out of it. Well, let's see if I can explain it to you. Well, you take, before you get to the Sacred Heart School, you go across the track. Before you get to there, there used to be a lumber yard, and then there's this big house there, and it's a duplex, and that was called Clayton's Hotel.
Oh, my goodness.
My great-grandma on my father's side, she made history. Her name was Mehitable Fisk.
Mehitable Fisk?
She lived in New York City. And she was taken by the Indians. She went out one day to pick some beans for dinner. And the Indian come along and picked her up and took her. She was gone for over 2 years. And they finally, they dickered and tried to trace different ones to find her. And finally they got in touch with the fur traders. And the fur traders got her. And when they got her back, she was just, you know, a little girl yet. Her hair was matted, they said her legs was all scratched up. She was in awful shape. And she said, Mother, she said, it's took me a long while to put the message.
Oh.
She was gone. That was on my dad's side. She was gone over 2 years.
Isn't that something?
They had to, I know when they wrote it down, you know, about my great-grandma.
Mm.
I never seen her, you know, that one.
Frida, do you remember anything that your grandma cooked or your grandpa? Were you more fond of your grandmother or your grandfather?
I didn't have any. My grandfather died when I was just a little girl, and my mother's dad, he died. My mother was about 8 years old, so all I had was my grandmother. Because my other grandmother, Grandma Clayton, she died when I was just a month old. So I only had the one grandma. Mm-hmm.
What I remember about my grandma, she always wore a nightcap to bed, you know, over her head. Old-fashioned nightcap. I never went to bed without that nightcap.
Why did they wear it?
Well, it was cold country. Night.
How about you, Frida? What do you remember about your any special? Did they used to cook something special when you came there to eat?
Oh yeah, they always did.
What did you have?
Oh, just mostly like here. Cause summer it was different, you know. Well, I can't remember much about my grandpa. I hardly can remember him. He must have died when he was small. My grandmother's, my mother's mother, she lived with us for quite a few years. And then she died. But the other grandma, she was more spry. The last I know, she was up in a home someplace. She always liked to smoke.
She liked to smoke?
Smoke cigars.
Cigars?
Oh, well, my grandma.
I didn't smoke a pipe, I know that.
My grandma, the boy had a corn cob pipe.
Yeah, that's one of their things, the corn cob pipes.
I wonder how they got to smoking cigars and pipes.
I don't know. She never smoked pipe as a cigar.
Smoke in the house, did she smoke it?
Yeah. She come down to our place and then they went in one woman. They always had stoves, you know, and each woman had a stove, you know. And they opened the door and then she sat and smoked there and looked the smoke up in the chimney.
In the chimney.
So I wanted
My
didn't
grandma.
Get too much smoke in the curtain, so I had
My grandma liked smoke too.
Yeah, that's funny, see.
That's funny because you don't think about women smoking in those days.
But I've seen some of them in Copenhagen, a woman that smoke on the street with a big cigar.
Huh.
When I was a small child, I was about 8 or 9, we went to a scouts to visit my dad's aunt, with just mother and I. And after we got through eating dinner, she said, "You leave those dishes alone, I've got to have my smoke." So she had a little rocking chair in the kitchen, got out her corn cob pipe and sat there till it was all done, and she said, "Now we'll do the dishes."
Oh, gosh.
I heard my dad speak,
my grandma, too. She
smoked, too?
Well, she had asthma. She thought that cleared her throat, so she spoke.
Oh, gosh, it probably didn't do her much good.
We're
going to
see
Alice. It's so funny. My great aunt was sitting there, literally white rocking chair, with her corn pipe.
Yeah.
No,
just come back when you can. I won't be gone long.
Okay.
I have to go. Is there one nearby?
Well, probably right down the hall. You can ask.
Sometimes you smoke.
She'll have to go in the dining room, I think.
Yeah, no, but only go to the right, the lobby. She said to the dining room this morning. We'll begin the nominal tournament this morning.
You're talking about women smoking. I can remember my dad was telling you he had an aunt that used snuff. She would take it just like the men did out of the package and she'd put it up her nose. And that was his story. He had to go down to the store and buy her snuff.
Oh my gosh.
And then you think, well, that women now use tobacco, how many years ago that was. And they didn't even have it. He said she always had her little box of snuff with her.
Now hardly anybody smokes anymore.
No. Because my grandmother, my mother's mother, she used snuff in her. And she had a nice little one, and she went to church. He had one little bee on that.
For when she went to church, she had snuff too?
Yeah, she took it along, you know. Yeah, I remember that. When we were kids, we always had to take a little pinch. She said, that's good for your cold. And we put up in her nose, and we were sneezing.
That's what the English women, English men used to do years ago.
Oh, yes, they were great on their snuff. They had the habit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's some funny ideas there.
Cherry Nation went to not grandma, but she went to Wells and would sign a pledge that we wouldn't drink or smoke or any of those things till we was 19, I think. Well, it used to be, you know, the ladies.
You mean that you signed that you wouldn't do that?
I was 21, I think, we had to be before we was. I remember I kept that paper for, oh, I don't know how long I kept it. I thought it was right. Because her name was Carrie Nation.
Mm-hmm.
Mine was Carrie
Wood.
Did you carry your little hatchet with her?
I would carry Skiff then, you see, not Wood.
How do you spell Skiff?
Capital S-K-I-F-F, Skiff. Little boat.
Well, Gladys wants to know if she had a hatchet with her.
Huh?
Gladys wants to know if she had a hatchet with her.
Had a what?
Hatchet.
No, hatchet.
She didn't have a hatchet. She buried that, I guess. But she
was
used
known
to come
for her
in.
Hatchet.
I heard that.
She used to come in there, you know, and they did. Said she did have a, well, I guess she really did have a hatchet. She'd go in there, they used to say. And Wells was one of the wettest towns anywhere around.
Yes.
They had these regular, you know, back in where they, I used to go by, we kids used to go by there, you know, and they'd be going in and out, in and out, and these doors would fly open. Well, she stayed around there for, you know, to kind of calm them down. And she also used to take these cigar boxes. We kids run around and got these cigar boxes. Then she'd take, there's a band in the cover of the cigar box, and then you'd have to tear that apart somehow. And I don't know, then I guess they couldn't get them or something. And they'd have boxes of cigars, you see. And we kids run all around, find some cigar box. I guess they gave a little, you know, a coin or something. Well, when I got home to Washington one time, here come Carrie Nation. I think that wasn't her name, was it, Carrie Nation?
I don't know.
It seemed to me she had another name. But they called her Carrie Nation, because I suppose she was interested in this, of the nation. It's quite, and she looked just like, she kind of mannish looking. Combed her hair kind of pretty light. I can see her yet pretty near. She wore dark, kind of dark clothes. And I see her going down with Joe Moon, you remember?
Oh, Joe, my gosh, yeah.
Well, he was something, you know, lawyer. And I don't know whether she had him lined up or something for the, these things. It used to be quite a place here, too, you know. They had real places of where the booze they go in now. Of course, I wouldn't say, but some of them are drunks, you know. They'd throw the money out, throw it away. We kids would go and pick it up. I can just remember that, kind of little kids. It was a bad deal. But they got it kind of straightened out now, I guess.
That my grandmother had a cow. And then she had a small building. It was a stone. And she had a little bench in there, and then she had a great big crock, and she put the milk in there. Then when the cream came on top, then she skimmed off the cream, then she had cream. Yeah. And that, and it was so cool in there, she kept her butter in there and her milk.
Hmm. This was near her, near the house?
It was right near the house, yes.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Where did she live?
Well, she lived in the house now where the Legion Hall is. She lived in an old house there.
And this little stone house was outside of that?
Yeah, it was outside of that. It was a small, just a small building next to the barn.
I don't know, they used to be, I don't think, I was sitting here trying to think of a name. They would dig a hole in the ground, deep hole, you know, it was kind of, that was their ice box. That's where they put their meat and butter and milk and everything. And I was trying to think what they called those. Mm-hmm. It was like, and of course, they used to call it a storm cellar. We had those.
Not a root cellar.
Maybe it was a root cellar. That's where they started, because it was a deep hole. You know, just down, right, steps and all, you know. And it was cold.
Kind of a dugout kind of a place.
And it was cold down in there. They could keep things quite open.
Didn't the animals get into it?
No. There was just a doorway. That's all there was to it. Like going down into a cellarway, the old-fashioned cellarway.
Opening up the doors this way. What did they call those things?
I'm just trying to think. Some kind of a cellar.
Well, in Nebraska City, we always said I had a storm cellar outside in case a tornado and that we had down there.
Nebraska City? In Nebraska?
Yeah.
Of course, I suppose you had lots of tornadoes.
Yeah, we had a great, big one. And I see that one. It's just like you see it on the paper. It's awful dark. And it's on top. It's white on top, and then it comes down smaller, smaller, smaller. And that's when I hit the ground.
How old were you then?
I was 22. So.
Did you go into that cellar then?
Yeah, we had to go. We went over to the neighbors. And it didn't take our house, but it took the house where we were in.
Oh,
and we were all down in a cellar basement, outside basement. So they really come up, everything was gone.
Oh no, that must have been really sad.
Yeah, that was that big tornado in 1912.
Well, so that was your neighbor's house?
Yeah.
What did they do then? Stay with you?
Yeah, we had a fire together. And you could see the fence posts for miles. The fence post was just like you had cut it off but on the ground, and it was laying right flat down.
Hmm.
Yeah. Oh, you could see the most unruly thing. Pigs, the one farmer, there was a board that had gone through three little pigs.
Oh.
Oh, you could see so much trouble.
I got caught in a prairie fire one time when my dad was building a railroad out in South Dakota. And the prairies were burning, and we were warned that it might come our way. And you could hear that roar. That's the worst roar, that fire. We didn't see it or anything. And, of course, we had been warned. And so Dad got some of the machinery out. And they dug what they call a fire bank. That's a great big trench all around the construction camp. And they just finished it when the fire came up, that fire break, and it couldn't jump.
So they really did stop it?
Finally, yeah.
And weren't you scared that it was?
Scared. We were petrified. Yeah, and we had
I wonder how those fires started.
Well, it was the heat, I guess. It was so hot that summer, I can remember. And there's no stopping those prairie fires when they once get going.
Well, did it go around you then, or did it, was that
it
the end of it?
It just died right there. Oh. It couldn't go any farther. They went as far as they could with that ditch and piled the dirt up on this side. And
I don't know if I told you about when I was little on the farm, and an awful storm come up, tornado, and a teacher told us to, first she was Kathy, took her beads, took us all in the corner. Then she told us to go and get under the seat. Under the desk, pull off the seat, get under the desk. And this awful storm come and just took a piece of the door out front and took the woodshed out right close. And when it was all over, she and we all went out to see that the woodshed was gone, just like in the wood. I never forgot it.
I'm sure not.
We just sat under there, you know.
Did it sound like a train? They always say
it sounds like
a train.
Terrible. Even in that fire, there was a terrible roar. And you could feel that heat, even if you couldn't see the fire yet, but the heat was just terrible on that. And as it came closer, it just got hotter and hotter. We were in a storm out there one time too, and of course they had a great big, we had about 24 head of horses, and there was a bad storm that wrecked the camp that night, and one of the boys was hollering, they tipped, collapsed on him, and
your brother
was one of the workmen.
Oh.
And he was yelling to one of the boys, get this rope off my legs so I can get up. And I went and got a lantern, and it was a rattlesnake wound around his leg. You know, it was a rope.
Oh.
And so he was got cold, and it just numbed, and his leg was warm, and it was, he was pretty lucky. He didn't get a bite or anything.
Oh, gosh. How did they get it off of there?
Well, they just, someone was brave enough to grab him behind the head. If you get him in here where they can't turn their head, you know, and spit at you. He got it off and then unwound it.
Where was that? Where in that hill?
No, that was out in Dakota.
Oh, yeah. That's
South Dakota. We were there.
Kind of a wild.
Wild place?
I went through there.
That was a time when it was still wild. It wasn't.
When was that?
Oh, I was 7 years old. My brother was 2.
So, what year was that?
1907.
Did they have bad storms in Denmark, Copenhagen?
No, we hardly had any storms.
Mm-hmm. I think.
We had little snow in the winter time. Well, winter wasn't very long.
I think we better stop.